Hey everyone, this is Semler and you're listening to TCR.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Center Ring, also known as TCR, also known as your favorite esports podcast. Episode 30, correct? Am I wrong on this? 30.
No, you're right. It's just because we didn't get 29 up until 2 days ago.
Well, and we'll explain that here in a second. But this is episode 30 on time and will be uploaded on time. Coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The time, 9 o'clock exactly. Talk about being punctual. The date, Monday, May 2nd of the year 2016. I'll be one of your hosts for this journey. My name is Tim. You can find me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. My co-pilot, my rock, my first mate, Brandon. How are you doing today, sir?
What's going on?
They can find you on Twitter at BrandInnyNew. Is that still a thing?
Yeah, I'm not going to change it. Like, I feel like we're so many episodes into it now that if I change it, it's screwed.
We just have so many followers, it will confuse people.
Dude, those 35 people that listen.
Like, what are they going to do?
I just can't change it.
What are they going to do? We have an awesome show for you today, though. And that is what you will want to pay attention to. We are going to basically run down DreamHack Austin and what we feel is the need to know for some of the events there. We'll touch on some Super Smash Brothers, because that is going to be there. We'll touch on some Heroes of the Storm. We'll touch on some CSGO. We're going to touch on DreamHack Austin, approaching us in just a matter of days, a few sleeps away, and we will be in Austin, Texas, just 3 hours away, just a short drive, and we can see some maybe competitive gaming. Will be competitive gaming, but will it be to the standards that we really appreciate? And that's what we're going to dive into here in just a moment. I did want to apologize, though, but not accept blame for last week's episode being uploaded like 2 days ago. So we record on Mondays typically. The show normally goes up on Tuesdays. Last week's did not go up until what?
Saturday?
And that is because I'm a former customer of Verizon Fios, and now a victim of Frontier, and they decided not to give me or anyone else apparently in the nation who has them internet for 4 days. So, you know, bear with it. It was going to take 4 days to upload the episode, and by golly, did it really take 4 days to upload the episode. So they weren't lying. They at least had that on point. They did say it was going to take 4 days to get the internet fixed, and they nailed it. They got that one right. That's not going to happen, though, with episode 30. No, sir, it's not. So let's get right into episode 30, though. We have CSGO being at DreamHack Austin. When this was announced, this is the first DreamHack in America. So it's a big deal. You know, there's normally that is a overseas event that is now giving some love to the States. So it was a very big deal when it was approaching. And I'm not going to lie, in our heads, I think we had a little higher hope.
Well, so we actually had tickets for DreamHack Austin and planned DreamHack Austin before the MLG Major in Columbus was announced. I think like a month before.
Long before. I mean, it was, I bought the DreamHack Austin tickets when it was the early bird special. So, I mean, it was in the first minutes of them going on sale.
So we had these tickets well in advance, and then when they announced that Columbus was going to have the major, you know, I immediately bought tickets for that because I was like, we have to go to that. So it's kind of,
it's first. We went to the first major in NA. We're going to first DreamHack in NA. Different levels, though. Different levels. They're a little different. Looking at the teams, and then we'll break down groups. You have, first off, that is a complete NA lineup. Am I right? Yeah, that's a complete NA lineup. You have
barring South American politics, but
well,
yeah,
whatever.
Close enough.
Tomato, tomato. Yep. You got CLG, you have Liquid, Luminosity, Tempo Storm, Energy, which I had like a light bulb moment earlier this week. When, so I never pronounced their name.
You've always just kind of read it.
NRG. That's, yeah, I've always read their name. I never knew it was energy, like what you use to power things.
Pretty clever.
Like that, for some reason, went way over my head for all this time. I never...
Well, I don't even remember what we were talking about.
I don't know what it was. I think it was just, I said it out loud, and then I was like, hey, they should go by energy. And I was like, oh my God.
They do.
They do go by energy. So that's insane. Okay, moving on. Then you have Splice, Cloud9, and Selfless Gaming. So it's a full NA roster, which normally like that would get you hyped because it's like, hell yeah, man, we get to support our teams on our soil. If it wasn't, we discussed this prior to the show because you got berated on Reddit for saying it, where, yeah, it's awesome that these tournaments are here and you get to have spotlight for these, some of these tier two teams like Energy and Selfless and, you know, some of these guys here. However, it's almost to the equivalent of minor league sports in the sense of my care level. Like, if it's a game between Splice and Energy, I'm probably not going... That's not a stop-down matchup.
And
a lot of these aren't going to be stop-down matchups.
And with DreamHack having so many games to watch and so many things to do in the one area, they're going to have to really compete for attention. And I don't know if, like you said, a Splice or an Energy match are going to... Even worse, like, imagine if it was, you know, Luminosity versus Energy. It's going to be a train wreck for them. It's like, why would I even sit here and watch them get rolled over by, you know, one of the top teams in the world right now?
It's going to be interesting to see how that works, because at MLG, that was all that was there. You had Counter-Strike, and that was it. So obviously, if you're there, that's all for 9-10 hours, that's all you care about. At DreamHack, though, like you said, it's kind of like a gaming expo as well, and then you have Heroes of the Storm, StarCraft, Hearthstone, Street Fighter. Everything is going to be there. Will there be people who sit there all 3 days to watch this Counter-Strike? Would you sit there for three days to watch this Counter-Strike?
I'm already planning not to, actually.
Like, we're already planning out to see what matchups. I'll tell you what. Because it's broken down into two groups. Group A is CLG, Splice, Cloud9, and Luminosity. Group B, Energy, Liquid, Selfless, and Tempo Storm. Tempo Storm recently coming off their win for the SIVO Finals, which is a premier tournament, and it is their first time winning at a premier tournament. I don't want to take anything away from that. At the same time, I'm going to take a little bit away from that. Because, yes, it's a premier tournament that they won, but those teams weren't, I mean, they're essentially the same teams that are here, which bodes well for Tempo Storm if you're looking at riding that momentum. If they can handle going from London to Austin in a matter of a couple of days, like, that's going to be a beating of a trip for some of these guys. Splice, well, speaking of, Tempo Storm, Splice, and Selfless all played in London last weekend. Just yesterday, they were there.
Oh, that's going to be some serious jet lag.
I have no idea on how their travel agenda is, but even then, that's realistically 4 days to get to Austin and try to adjust. So that's going to be not fun mentally for them. But apart from here, SIVO, I mean, you had... Again, I don't want to take it away because there were good teams there. Don't get me wrong. But there were teams that I feel like Tempo Storm is in the same league with, like SK Gaming, Optic Gaming, Dignitas. Those are teams that when I think of Tempo Storm with them. No disrespect, Fallen. The only team in that entire tournament that stands out as a, oh, damn, was Virtus Pro, which the only reason they stand out is
that
because of
that
their name.
has Cloud. If you look beyond 2016, like if you go back to 2015, you're like, yeah, good team.
Take out making legendary status at the major.
And they've done nothing.
They've done nothing.
They've gotten wrecked all year.
They have like 4, maybe 5 wins in ESL. If I'm thinking off the top of my head, they have been anything but a team that you would be impressed with beating, other than it's Virtus Pro and it's, you know, it's, you're not beating Tiger Woods in his prime.
And you can see DreamHack kind of intentionally spaced out the first games for the group stages, kind of planning ahead. Group A's first match is going to be Luminosity versus Splice. Group B's first match is Tempo Storm versus NRG, CLG versus Cloud9, and then Team Liquid versus Selfless. Like, you can see that you don't have any of the like premier teams kind of showing up together until, you know, at least the second set of matches. Cloud9's the only one that hasn't even, you know, CLG did well at the major, and CLG's probably has the, I don't know, I feel like CLG has the potential to win a lot.
CLG has the advantage with here, though, that they are out of most of those teams there as far as actual USA teams. CLG hasn't had a roster change like Cloud9 and Team Liquid have recently. So if you're looking at like those top tier American teams there, which I look at CLG, Liquid, Cloud9, CLG might come out of those three, because
if JDM and Tarek can play like they did at the major and how consistently good they were playing throughout that entire tournament, I think they have a very good opportunity to push, especially if the groups work out well enough that, you know, they're not meeting Luminosity too early. I feel like they have the upper hand in the Cloud9 game once again, because Cloud9 just changed.
They just changed Freakazoid rosters, right? Which Freakazoid now, it's not really a big story, but he is filling in for Splice. So,
well, that's whatever.
It's not breaking news. It's not like it's not, him.
And when I think about it, I'm not like, oh man, that's going to put him over the top of anything. No,
it's literally just something to bring up.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to.
That's our Counter-Strike micro.
Yes. I'm not trying to be like, well, wow, now we need to reanalyze Splice's tactics here. The only difference that's going to make is what jersey Freakazoid is wearing.
The only thing that I don't want to see an all Brazilian finals. Like, if we could just
one team. I'm going to stop you down, because I was actually about to say the only finals that I want to see here are either Liquid and Cloud9, which, by the way, when NA has a full tournament roster, for whatever reason, those two teams perform really well, despite Liquid playing awful recently. Like, there is, again, calls for Adren's head on the platter.
Already?
Like, already, this is why you got rid of Adren in the first place. Torch and Pitchfork riots going on. But you're telling me you would not want to see Luminosity versus Tempo Storm?
No, absolutely not.
That's like father fighting son.
That's all great for that storyline. I don't want to deal with them. Like,
I
don't want to deal with the Brazilian fans talking about how they are the only two teams that got to the finals in an NA tournament.
I don't argue with you that. That would be unbearable if I could understand what they were saying. But luckily for me, I kind of just scroll right past their tweets, because I'm like, look, I got nothing. You just, whatever, bro. I got nothing you just said, so it's okay. But the matchup of, it would almost be like,
but, and I like, feel like they both know each other so well that it would just be like pounding two rocks against one another.
Like, I think that's what would make it at least interesting, though. That, I mean, you have to think, how did Tempo Storm get to where they are right now?
Yeah, but
because of Fallen and Luminosity basically training them.
But if Luminosity knows Tempo Storm as well as I think they do,
you think it would?
I don't think Luminosity would even care.
There's two roads you can go with this. It's either it's going to be just Goliaths going at each other because they know their strats so well, or Luminosity would just dominate them in the sense of Tempo Storm thinks they know Luminosity, but Luminosity still is that.
Well, no, so they could run the exact same strats, the perfect counter strats. Like, Tempo Storm could pick the perfect executes every time, and I don't think they would even get close to winning, because Luminosity is good enough that they can, you know, just win out on skill alone if they, you know, you have any inkling or idea of what's going on.
So we're talking like that. So what team here then do you think honestly stands the best chance against Luminosity? Do you think there's any carryover for Liquid against Luminosity?
No, not at this point.
Completely different roster.
You know what? With recent performances and team changes, I honestly think CLG stands the best chance against Luminosity, which is, in my opinion, it makes me really sad to be an NA fan right now.
So no carryover. All you did was replace Simple with Kusta.
Yeah, you replaced Simple with Kusta, but obviously that's not working quite as well. Kusta's not Simple, right? Kusta can't be Simple. And I don't know if Adrin just rolls on, what's the word I'm looking for, like momentum. But it seems like when he starts losing, the matches against Luminosity at the major, when he starts losing, he just tanks. Like, he loses all confidence so quickly. And that could have been from years of being the liquid whipping boy for the entire community.
So I also think it has maybe something to do with, I'm going to put this lightly, but the way we play video games, where once we lose, there is no e-break to pull and regroup. It is,
well,
someone has to take the sword for this one. Like, someone has to fall on the blade. And I feel like Liquid is almost like that, in the sense of, I really feel like GB James did a lot more bonding and putting keeping the pieces together and keeping attitudes in check than people ever gave him credit for. I know he posted a tweet longer, which I do not like,
hate
by the
those
way.
Things.
I'm on Twitter because I only want a sentence or two from you. But nonetheless, he did put out a tweet longer, basically on his role and everything like that. And I really do think that he did not get enough credit for balancing out all of that different type of attitudes that go around with Liquid. And I think that's what you're seeing now. I know they're trying to get a coach again. I mean, anything could happen in esports. If they do get one by DreamHack, so within a week, less than a week, at this point, a coach will make no difference. You're going to put a coach in there with
If he's good enough with personalities, he can make a difference in.
To know them prior, though.
Yeah, but he could make a difference in the fact of getting them to
morale.
Work together. But yeah, morale. But that's all you're going to do. You're basically going to be a cheerleader. I mean, that'll be your role for that. I think you're right when you say James probably helped that team out more than he got credit for, because he was constantly getting railed for like stupid tactical decisions. But with personalities like Kiko's and Simple's, and trying to get them to work together and be a team, and then to get the success that he did out of them, I mean, it kind of gives them a lot of credit too, the players, because once the players got to work together, they were able to achieve a lot more than any of them had achieved on separate teams or doing their own thing. But I think that also kind of justifies the coach role in esports, outside of just shot calling like a lot of people, you know, expect it to be.
Yeah, I completely agree with that outlook on Team Liquid. And on the other hand, you have a team like Cloud9 who's they've played with Slemmy now for what? 2-3 weeks or so, on and off, because he is in contract for some leagues with his old team. And he is their IGL. I think for the most part, it might not show on the record, but they've been playing decently with him, as far as if you're comparing to picking up a player and how fast you should turn things around. I think that they drew the short straw as far as groups go. I think Group A is definitely a tougher group when you think of CLG and Luminosity in there. I mean, if you're just looking at status, CLG and Luminosity are both legendary status when it comes to majors. So at MLG, remember, Luminosity made it to the big house, where Cloud9 couldn't even make it out of groups, which historically Cloud9 does not make it out of groups. Like, there's not even argue. That is fact. Cloud9 they do not make it out of groups.
Yeah.
Somehow this Cloud9 team has stayed together for as long as they have, the core of the team, and has stayed relevant with fandom for so long, and yet they just cannot make it out of groups. this time will be no different.
They went on that major run back in the day and like have been riding that wave ever since. Cloud9 actually has been playing decently over the last couple weeks with Slimmy.
And is that sad that playing decently gives you the confidence of like, hey, that's actually a positive thing.
So they in the last couple of weeks, you know, during they've been playing a lot of ECS and ESL Pro League. They split games with Echo Fox. They split games with Optic. You know, 1-1. They beat Splice 2 times. They beat Kekona, which they should beat Kekona. They beat a team called Without a Roof, who's playing in ECS Season 1.
That's actually Slummy's old team.
Gotcha. So
they took him from there. So
they beat them twice, and then they lost to Luminosity twice. They got wrecked on Dust 2. But I feel like
all this is moot when you think of the entire tournament as a whole, where this is Luminosity's tournament. Much like iBuyPower was, though. The iBuyPower Cup, we were saying, oh, this is Luminosity's tournament. No way can they fail on this. And yet somehow Cloud9 came up and won that tournament against Team Liquid in the finals.
I just wonder if Luminosity is going to treat this like they were treating the last tournament they were in, where they went out in groups. Was it...
That was iBuyPower Cup.
Was that the recent iBuyPower?
Yeah, that was the one where they... If I could be wrong, but I'm 99% sure that was the iBuyPower Cup.
I wonder if they're going to treat it like that and use it to try things out to see how... You know how
what the do they other have teams to lose?
Yeah, right? I
just
mean,
use
like,
this to try it. I mean, your Luminosity skills should carry them through this tournament.
The thing is like because there is no off season and there's so many leagues and so many games going on. And I was actually talking about DreamHack Malmo where they lost to Ty Lu.
Oh, okay.
To get knocked
Malmo
out.
Malmo was. That was all. That was not them not playing well. That was.
I felt like they were just
for whatever reason.
Yeah, and I feel like Luminosity was trying different strats and stuff. So when you don't have an off season, and you don't have, you know, structured practices. You have like 2 weeks of boot camping every 6 months or whatever it is. You have to use tournaments to kind of try stuff out. And if they're willing to do it at DreamHack Masters Malmo, I don't see why they would, you know, not use Austin as well. Although, you know, the money would be nice, but
well,
if you can prepare yourself for the next major using these tournaments as stepping stones to learn new things or try new things.
And that's a kind of a hot topic going around right now, and not just CSGO, but I would say it's an argument or something that can be brought up with any esports, and that is, and we're not even... Correct me if I'm wrong, because I think you've kept up more with this. It's not the fact that there's a lack of offseason. The argument used to be is that there's too many tournaments and too many seasons and too many organizations as far as wanting to hold these tournaments and competitions where the players aren't getting a break. The players need a break. They're getting overwhelmed. And now the argument is a little bit of that, but more of the oversaturation of when is, you know, I can't sit here and watch a Counter-Strike game every single night.
You're not just watching one. You're watching like 4 hours of Counter-Strike
from Saturday to Sunday on, you know, any given week because you have ESL. And then like Cloud9 will in one night jump from ESL to ECS, soon to be now there's going to have E-League coming up here in a couple of weeks. There's all these different tournaments now. And is that, am I wrong? Is that the argument now that's oversaturation to where the fans are might care?
It's both. So I actually exchanged a few tweets with Richard Lewis on it.
Whoa.
In a friendly manner.
Whoa.
Right?
Breaking news. Wow.
And I had brought up the fact that the ECS, in my opinion, is the only one.
Did he remember you from MLG? Was he like, hey, Brando?
No, we don't have nicknames yet.
All right. All right. Progress.
Next time I meet him, I'm like, hey, Rich.
Something to look forward to.
We were talking about, you know, ECS, I feel like, is the only league at this point that's doing it right by giving the teams equity and, you know, in the tournament and, you know, giving them ownership to make decisions and all this other stuff. But the teams don't really care. the teams are not you know, seeing the benefit in that, I think, and they're not really putting their weight behind ECS like I think they could. But it's when you have the SEVO leagues and, you know, ESL Pro leagues, and you have ECS, and then you have the DreamHack Tours, and then you're going to have E-League coming up. I mean, you're looking at, you know, 5 to 6 different leagues that all of these teams are participating in, and you're going to have one of two things. You're going to have players that are getting hurt for literally getting hurt for playing too much, which is kind of ridiculous to think about as far as, you know, video games go. But playing so much that they're hurting themselves, playing so much that they get burnt out and don't want to play anymore, or play anymore, or you're just going to have teams flat out drop out of tournaments like you have DreamHack Master or DreamHack Austin. These teams, all these big European teams, dropped out completely because they don't see a benefit in traveling to the U.S. to play in a tournament.
Well, unofficially, that's why they dropped out. Most of them said they needed a break. Navi said, look, we need a break and we want to take this opportunity to do one. In reality, because the effort that it takes to come out here, and I mean, do you have the prize pool in front of you? It's not big.
It's 100,000.
Okay. So what's first place then? Like 55?
It's going to be something like 55,000. Okay. Yeah. I don't have the breakdown in front of me. I don't know if they've announced a breakdown, but.
So again, though, you're right. If you're looking, do the players even see the equity in ECS, or are they only going for the prize pool in the tournaments? Because that's all they've ever known. Is the big prize pool in the tournament.
The team organizations don't, I mean, they care about the money because that's where most of the players' money comes from. But the thing that they're missing is that when they have ownership, and it's not the players that have ownership, it's the teams themselves. So like the owners of the teams have that equity and ownership in the league. They can help shape that league to be better for themselves. So this is Face It going for Face It, the organizer of ECS, going for exclusivity, but doing it by saying like, hey, we will give this stuff to you guys. You just have to come play in our league. Whereas ESL just tried to sign them to contracts and all that. You know, I don't think the teams care so much because there's so many other options out there. They're like, what if we don't play in this league? Like, nothing bad is going to happen. But if you're thinking 10 years down the line, the ECS is the only place where if you do end up signing an exclusive contract, you at least have some pull in the decisions.
Yeah.
It's just more oversaturation talk. I mean,
I really have nothing to combat what you just said. I think you hit it on point when you said the 10 years down the road, because.
But once again, this goes back to our last episode when we were talking about Team Blaze and Heroes of the Storm, and, you know, the team's run by a 23-year-old guy that's still in college. Like, I know not all the teams are in that same situation. I will say the ECS probably has a few more tier two teams that probably don't care quite as much as the Liquids and the Cloud9s and the Fanatics and the, you know, Ninjas and all that other stuff. But I also think that the people currently running esports, even though they've been around for a while, have kind of just been riding the success of esports with Twitch and then all the viewers, and not really thinking like, how do I continue to be successful after this slows down?
Well, and the thing was, though, that you never had to care.
Right.
You never had to worry about, oh man, well, gee, what league is going to suit best for us in the long term? Because you never had to think of an off season before. It was always just, yeah, we're going to go play here, we'll play here, play here. And now you're actually seeing it to where you're having fatigue issues.
Yeah.
Like, I see it more as a sense of, I want to view it more like a marketing aspect where you can actually get a legitimized league with possible, maybe not salary caps, but, you know, something along that lines to where it promotes more of the organizations being involved, a sense of having like a general manager and things like that, not just this one owner. Because a lot of times, and we've brought this up on the show before, where we say, well, these teams are young and blah, blah, blah. Whose responsibility is it to know this? Is it the players or is it the organizations? But you hinted at it last time. Well, when these organizations probably are involved just as little as the players, or possibly care just as less, because the organizations don't need ECS. ECS needs the organizations. Like, ECS could be full of tier 2 teams, and yeah, it'll get some viewership, but unless those tier 2 teams all of a sudden became, you know, used each other to all of a sudden dominate, people are still just going to go ahead and watch the top tier teams.
That's true.
Like, half the time you're watching a match and I can't tell you if it's ECS or ESL without looking at like a logo or something on there.
But you know what teams are playing in it.
But I know exactly, because I see Cloud9 and I want to watch Cloud9. I don't care where they're playing. Would I love to see a more organized format and everything? Sure, but you're going to have to see something change in the sense of that. And I even know I saw Richard Lewis tweet out a few tweets on this the other day where everyone's talking about, oh, the organizations and, oh, the players and all this being tiredness and everything. Well, what about the oversaturation of casters and their long hours? I mean, look at ECS where you have, you know, Barlow and DDK working 8, 10-plus-hour days.
When they got back, like, from MLG Columbus, and then 2 days later
had to pull like 10-hour, 11-hour, 14-hour
days.
And then look at this weekend with SIVO, where all you really had for the sake of desk analysts were Richard Lewis and Thorne. Now, I'm not saying I dislike Richard Lewis and Thorne, but after an entire weekend of only listening to Richard Lewis and Thorne, you best believe that I'm like, I could use a little less. Maybe just, you know, I like pizza. I don't want pizza every day.
Well, you know, every tournament. You know what's interesting about the caster thing? This is a small tangent. That with how often teams are changing rosters, that it almost is like the casters and analysts are bigger celebrities than some of the teams are.
Oh, no. It's definitely. I mean, you saw that at MLG. You could have some of these players just walk on by. Well, okay, so for instance, at the time, before the success of Liquid, James literally walked through the crowd. Like, do you remember?
Yeah, he walked right down the stairs.
Right down the stairs.
He actually jumped over the barrier where you were not supposed to jump over.
He got yelled at. But he literally walked through the crowd and no one said anything. And yet after games, you see the analysts and everybody signing for hours. They still might be in Columbus signing autographs for all I know.
Especially Anders. Everybody.
Everybody. So yes, that's definitely the case where these, you know, talking heads can become more of, what's the word?
More celebrity.
More celebrity,
popular.
And that also comes to a sway, though, of their influence that they hold, which is why I stress everything that I do with being like professional with them because their opinions sway a lot of other opinions.
Yeah.
So they're role models, for lack of a better term. That's what they are. They're role models to the esports community and to people looking into it and everything like that. So I don't know. It's an oversaturation thing. Will it change? I don't think so.
Not for a while.
I think until you see some big people, maybe like a Mark Cuban, and say, all right, I'm buying a team and it's going to be not chump change and we're starting a league. It's going to have to take someone like Mark Cuban to start a league and just basically be willing to give these teams enough startup money to say, I want you to focus on my league and promote my league.
Yeah.
But it's going to have to almost be so much money to where it makes up for tournaments they could possibly win. And that's even...
Do you think esports have gotten too big now for that to happen, though?
Man, nothing's too big for money.
Yeah, but nothing's, I mean, how much...
You're going to cause a hump with that, though. Because you're not only going to have to convince teams, but you're also going to have to convince developers to almost let go of their game. Like, you're going to have to convince Riot to not be involved as much with the way it's ran. Or Valve, for instance.
Valve, especially with Counter-Strike, is kind of... Anyway, the only thing they really care about are the majors.
Look at what is the biggest deal, are the majors. So if you're going to have an exclusive league, they're going to have to be involved. But
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to change. I think esports is too big for any of that. I think that's what's going to have to do if you want to see it change. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't. I think you're going to just see more and more and more tournaments popping up, and eventually some will die off. But you'll always see ESL. You're always going to see SIVO. You're always going to see Face It. You're always going to see those kind of four teams. The one that I am interested in is E-League, because that's the first thing, which I saw a commercial on TV for E-League, by the way.
I did too, on TBS.
Yeah. So that's going to be the only one, because it's on TV. They were completely different.
They were playing it during the NBA playoffs.
Yes.
That's when I saw the commercial, yeah.
Yep. So that's going to be the only one, because it's the only thing that's going to be kind of unique about all of them coming up. Speaking of coming up, though, we still have more to talk about with DreamHack Austin. I want to touch on real quick. There's not a whole lot. Maybe it's just me. I'm sure it's other people can. But Super Smash Brothers will be there. I want to just kind of list some of the notable names that are going to be there. So the most updated list I can see, I don't see Mango, which is really sad, because I was hoping to get me some Mango loving.
Has he won anything in like
We talked like he will forever be like second, third place, but that's, you know, that's fine. Mango will always have that. Everybody loves Mango. He's the kid. But Hungrybox will be there. So first off, every notable name is all American, by the way. So take that with you. But you have HBox. HBox will be there. Him and Mewtwo King both will be there. Clearly the two favorites to be in the finals. HBox, I feel, is definitely going to win that. Mewtwo King, he might be able to come out with Sheik or Marth. But HBox and his Jigglypuff has just been ridiculous. All year, I believe HBox has only lost one tournament, if I am remembering correctly. But he did just recently also win... Or no, he lost Summit 2. So... Or did he win Summit 2? You have the computer in front of you. Who won Summit 2? I'm getting all my Super Smash Brothers tournaments mixed up. But either way, Mewtwo King, HBox will be there. Nintendude will also be there for Team Splice. Let's see, who else? A lot of people. Chillin' Dude, he will be there. So it's going to be fun to watch, like Smash always is. But I am very depressed that for an event in USA, you do not have Mango. And I'm kind of honestly shocked. I almost expect... this is what I expect. I expect Mango to say that he's not going to be there. And then when the tournament starts, you'll see like a puff of smoke arise from the ceiling. And then he'll just slowly be lowered in from the rafters. And that's how Mango is going to make his entrance there.
For Melee, right?
Yes.
Armada,
yes. He won Summit 2, right?
Yeah, he beat Hungrybox.
Okay. And I believe that is Hungrybox's first loss of the year, at least in a tournament that matters. So there's that. What else is going to be at DreamHack that we can talk about? We have Heroes of the Storm. We can kind of touch on that if you'd like.
Yeah, why don't we break down the groups, kind of expected matchups coming into that.
Okay, so you have Heroes of the Storm. This is actually going to be the first NA Summer Regional Qualifier for the NA Summer League there. You have eight teams, again, all NA. DreamHack Austin is really pulling for the NA. I just noticed that. Everybody in Smash, everybody in HOTS, and everybody in CSGO. Do you think there's a theme there?
I think they're trying to pander to the crowd.
Yeah, do you think they're just trying to get that red, white, and blue heartstrings tugged right there? Yeah,
but if we don't have like a single US team, USA team to root for, how are we going to like break out into the national anthem?
Well, now we can just do it for everyone. you have Tempo Storm, Team Noventic, Gale Force Esports, THC, Cloud9, Panda Global, formerly Team Blaze roster. Team Blaze is still around, but as you recall in our latest episode or two episodes ago, Team Panda basically swiped Team Blaze's roster from them. Hasn't really been working out that great, but they're there. Cognitive Gaming, and then newly acquired Guster Bust, you now have Astralis Authority. So they just recently acquired Guster Bust, so...
Astral Authority.
Oh, what did I say?
Astralis, which is what I've been calling it too, and I just looked at it. No.
quick glance, that's what you're. It's a yeah, there's, straw
there's,
authority.
It's there's a missing
two,
is, but
two letters difference.
Yep,
won't be the last time that I make that mistake. So really, as far as NA goes, you have basically all of the top NA teams here. So in that sense, it should be a really fun tournament to watch. I mean, Cloud9, they're the top North American team, number five in the world. They haven't been playing as well lately. You know, they did lose to Gale Force recently. Well, I don't... Cloud9, I don't know if they're a victim of drafts.
I don't know. The Cloud9 and Niantic round two meetup is kind of looking to be the premier match.
And they're in the same group.
For the round two for their group A. Niantic, so.
Panda Global, THC, and Cloud9 are all in group A with the remaining in group B. You have a lot of matchups here that are interesting. Tempo Storm, formerly the world's best in Heroes of the Storm, but recently have dropped back down to Earth at rank 12. They're in group B with Astral Authority, Cognitive Gaming, and Gale Force. So here's my thing with Heroes of the Storm, and maybe if we have a special guest on the show later, we can ask her. Is the scene for Heroes of the Storm big enough to look at these global rankings and even take them for any type of authority whatsoever? Like, is the scene big enough to where Tempo Storm ranked 12 versus Cognitive Gaming ranked 16? Like, is that even like a big deal? Or are they essentially going to be the same teams? Is all this just one big toss-up? Or are we just waiting for Cloud9 and Niantic to be in the finals? Like, we're Counter-Strike, where we were basically like, well, it's going to be Luminosity in the finals unless they choose not to be there. Heroes of the Storm, I feel, is a little bit more up in the air.
I'm not sure if this is like you said, if it's popular enough. But, I mean, if you look at Tempo Storm, their team all time has won 75% of their games. I assume there's been roster changes and things have happened that have, you know, changed from the first time they started playing. But if you go down two rankings, there are two North American rankings for World, Cognitive Gaming's only won 53%. I feel like Tempo Storm, just based on that statistic alone, should have a pretty good chance to beat Cognitive. But I'm like, I don't know how consistent the teams are.
And also, this is with any MOBA. This is with League of Legends. This is with Dota 2, Paragon. What? Name any other MOBA that is going to be the new esport.
Paragon.
So with that, there's some strat involved there, obviously. But it also, I feel, is 75% the draft. Maybe not 75. Is 75% too much? When we're thinking,
no,
when you're looking at a team,
drafting is so important in this game because you could have a set of heroes that completely counters everything the other heroes do well. And that's kind of what's interesting looking at Cognitive Gaming. If you look at the top couple of teams, I mean, some heroes that you see all the time, Kael'thas, Stitches, you see Tassadar quite a bit. You see a lot of, you know, Karazim and Asmodan, like kind of top tier heroes, right? And then you look at some of the most played heroes on Cognitive, and you have things like Falstad and Leeming, sure, but then you have Kerrigan is one of the most picked for Glaurung and Diablo. And then Sonya and Vala is one of the most picked for Koth and Luck. And it's like, if you're going to win the game in the draft, if your most picked heroes are not tier one characters, or you know, you're going to have a bad time, right? And I feel like that's why Cognitive is only won 53% of the game. Their hero pool might be a little shallow. That's why they're picking that kind of stuff. So I'm with you. I think it's won and made in the draft, or won and lost in the draft, especially when the teams are as close as they are in ranking as the teams that are playing.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that in the sense of strategy or anything, because strategy comes in the draft. That's where your strategy game begins. You could have the best tactics on how to play a map, but if you picked heroes that don't complement the other team's heroes in the sense of being an anti-hero to them, that's where you're going to find issues. I mean, we have even discovered that in our chair league matches.
Especially when you don't build the hero right.
To where, yeah, I mean, well, and that's another thing, though. Builds. I mean, there's so much to this that comes into not even so much the playing skill, but the knowledge. The knowledge that you have of the game and being one step ahead of drafting that player to be a counter pick can go so much more, I feel, than just natural map strategy, especially in Heroes of the Storm. When team fights, I mean, play such a huge role. You lose a team fight, you lose that objective, it can ruin everything for you if you cannot win the objective. So that is something that I feel like teams like Cloud9 is going to have to fine-tune, because recently they've been going, I call it hipster picks, like where you'll see a Murloc or, you know, that untraditional pick.
Trying to be unique or
yeah,
catch them off.
Yeah, they're trying to go find a new meta. And it's like sometimes, you know, you don't fix what ain't broke. We don't need you to find a new meta. Let the Korean teams find the new meta and we'll copy them. We're okay with that. We don't need to be the experimental bunch. Just copy them and then, you know, get second or third place and then we'll move on. It's okay. We can live with that. As a Cloud9 fan, I can live with that. So let's move on to the micro here real quick. It was kind of a slow week in the sense of stories that could contribute to the micro. But one thing that absolutely blows my mind, and I wish there was more to talk about it, but it's really not. It's like one of those headline stories where the headline kind of says it all. EVO 2016 has officially broke, and I'm sure it's surpassed this by some by the time we record this. At EVO 2016, there will be over 4,000 participants for just Street Fighter V alone. Is that not insane?
Like it would be. I think I heard that there was over 1,000 for that Pokken game too, which is the Pokemon Tekken hybrid.
Like I would be blown away with just 4,000 people there, like to compete, 4,000 competitors, let alone 4,000 in one game. Like that's
so you you have Street Fighter V. Is it easier than the previous Street Fighters? Is that why?
Well, okay, so I think. No, I don't think that's why more people are playing it. I think more people are playing it, A, because esports is more popular. B, the PlayStation 4 is way more popular than the PS3 in the sense of
right
popularity and people
owning it.
Do you
think those like Red Bull videos that they did on the while EVO was going on last year, like some of the back, you know, behind the scenes kind of...
Yeah,
I think those helped out?
I think that all helped out with the scene of getting it out there. I think Capcom has done a tremendous job in making it more of a competitive scene rather than just a fighting game being kind of like a couch game where you have to sit with someone. Capcom is doing...
Right.
They're struggling still. It's not perfect, but Capcom has done a really good job of their own league with the World Cup and the points and everything there, the Capcom Cup and all that. But at the same time, Street Fighter V is much, much, much more pickup friendly. Like, I feel like I'm not good at it, but I feel like I don't suck at it either. Like, I feel
that's what makes a good esport, in my opinion. You have to have a skill floor that's low enough that people can play, but a skill ceiling that's high enough that the professionals can really put some distance between themselves.
Right. I can beat my friends who have never played it before, but if they practice, they could probably catch up to me. But I'm good enough to where I can understand why a pro is a pro and I'm not. Because there's still some moves, like cancellation moves, that you actually have to like practice and work on, which I just don't care enough to try to take it to the next level. So I guess it's huge. It's unreal on how popular Street Fighter V has gotten and the number of entries at EVO alone says it all. What else? What do you have for the micro?
So Las Vegas, home of, you know, gambling and all sorts of fun things, which I'm sure that's exactly why this is becoming such a big story.
And EVO.
That's downtown Grand is looking to become a year-round destination for esports. They have actually, in their large capacity room, taken out casino tables and have put in Xboxes, PlayStations, and PCs. They charge small entry fees and have cash winning games going on in the hotel.
I personally, me, if it's regulated and everything's done legal with age, I think that's pretty badass to just go there and kind of, I mean, kind of like blackjack, right? Anybody can go and play poker, even if you're a professional poker player, you know, however you want to word that, you can go to any casino and do it. So it's kind of the same thing. You're just putting your money where your mouth is in this sense. So and I think it's kind of awesome. I'm not, you know, as if it's done right, if it's done legally.
So they're hosting like small tournaments every, you know, every weekend or week. Their weekly competitions are small in scale. So they're doing NBA 2K16. It's about 15 to 20 people, and they're paying a $15 entry fee. So you're paying $15 if you went out, you know, what is that? You'll get, you know, $100.
That's nothing. I would do it for $15.
Why not? And then a game like Counter-Strike might bring in like 50 players.
Now, I was told at one, or I was asked at one point in time that if I thought Vegas could become like the hub of esports, like when you're looking at in America, where we could be a spot where esports really becomes popular. And I was asked, do I think Vegas could? And I thought about it. That's where Evo's at. It's been there for a long time. And I think, yes, it could. I think you could, almost how Vegas is like the hot spot for boxing and things like that. I could easily see where going to Vegas could definitely be an attractive thing for some of these tournaments. I think some things that will hurt it, though, okay, is esports, the crowd tends to be, you know,
there's younger
not
viewers.
Vegas age.
Right.
We would go, but in general, the crowd is not Vegas age. And B, these events are so damn long. When do I have time to go gamble? I literally wake up at the crack of dawn to go to these things, and I leave at 9, 10 o'clock at night. I definitely don't want to go to the casino afterwards. I probably would, but I'd hate myself the next morning.
That's a very good point.
Other than that, like, but I could see it working out because it's Vegas, and I feel like anything can work out in Vegas.
I mean, I would
get people to go.
I think we'd have a great time if we went and spent a weekend there and basically went down there, played in a tournament, had a few drinks at the bar or whatever, but it would be like a one-night thing. I don't know if you can have a sustained business model based on
that. I don't know
if
a business, but I'm just saying for like a yearly tournament,
yeah,
could happen there. I think that could happen. That being said, you probably couldn't pay me to use a public controller and mouse and keyboard. Like, that's probably not going to happen. I would probably bring my own gear because I'm not touching something all those people touch.
I didn't even think about that. Could you imagine the
not
keyboards?
Not going to happen. All the keys are sticky for whatever reason. No, sir. No, sir.
Nobody wants to use that one computer that's in the back corner.
Mad Cats controllers, just everything. Where are the controllers with the, whatever happened with controllers with like the air conditioning blowout
those,
in them?
The man, theory behind so, it was those, so good.
Those were so cool back in the day. You're like, this is we're not getting any better than this, gentlemen.
We've reached the pinnacle.
Yeah, we've reached the top. I've seen the top of the mountain. One other thing here that I have anyways is ESL announced that they are going to have a 24/7 esports channel. The big thing with this, it's a TV channel. 24/7 esports TV channel, much like
the ESPN of esports.
So there you go.
For those not in the know, MTG, Modern Time Group, owns a television network.
All right, I did not know that.
MTG owns ESL and also owns DreamHack. They have the ability to do this. I just hope they're not just playing, like, so ESL already does a 24-hour Twitch stream where they just run reruns of previous, you know, Pro League matches or whatever.
Yeah, I think what you're going to...
I just hope they have some actual interesting content.
You'll probably see just replays overnight, but if you ask me, they should probably just copy and mimic what ESPN does for their daytime, to where if there's no matches or anything going on, have a talk show, maybe like, you know, a podcast of two dudes just talking about esports. I don't know.
I just don't, I mean, throwing it out there.
Throwing it out there. You can have a talk show. And then like have like an outside the lines type of show where it's like going into not so much of the actual competitions, but showing you outside the competitions and things like that. I think it could be really interesting if done right. Do I think it's going to be done right? Probably not, because for whatever
reason... Hey, everyone, this is Semler, and you're listening to TCR.
The ghost just took over the soundboard. So, I really don't know what happened there. Thanks, Semler, for the shout-out. So, I don't think it's going to be done right, because for whatever reason, when esports... Like, it always sounds like a good idea. Hey, let's make esports on TV that will make it professional. But for whatever reason, when esports is on TV, they make it so...
They dumb it down.
They dumb it down so much and take the one thing that I hate, and that's trying to make it all nerdy and gamer-rific. I don't know what it is. It's just, it's the constant GG.
Which we now do in complete jest every time something stupid happens.
It's just... I don't know. I don't think it's going to work out, but that's because I'm a pessimistic and a negative Nancy, so I'm told by the fiance. That's all I got. That's all I got. What do you...
Last thing I want to bring up, June 27th through the 29th, a company by the name of Area 08, which is owned by Ninjas in Pajamas, will be hosting the very first ever, I assume it's first, it says first international esports camp, where they will have top coaches and players training kids in professional gaming, or I guess not in professional, but in competitive gaming to make them better. I guess it's like a sports camp. Like you would, you know, like you go to football camp in the summer.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What they do here in Texas anyway.
I saw this article and I really didn't understand what it was.
It's like going to camp. So you go, you learn new skills, you do a lot of practicing, you get to, you know, meet professional players, learn from coaches. Pretty cool in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to do it. It would be kind of weird if we went to go do it. We're too old for that stuff, but...
You know, let's go visit like, Stockholm.
What's the age limit for this?
I don't think there is one. Let's just go to Stockholm and hang out for a couple days.
I don't know about that. I feel like you're going to... We would look like creepers. I would feel like a creeper if I went to a camp and it was just me, maybe a couple other older dudes, and then just a bunch of 15-year-olds. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Not to mention, I'd probably be arrested there because, let's face it.
I'd probably like,
right.
If they're talking trash the way they would normally talk trash on an online game, there's a good chance I'd flip some like, kid's table
you.
Over.
I know where you sleep.
I'm right here next to you.
Wanna go? 1v1 me, bro.
Fight me IRL.
Fight me IRL. Bet you won't. Bet you won't. Ah, man, what a fun show. What a fun show episode 30 was. It was probably the best episode we've ever done. If I have to rate all the episodes, this would definitely be number one. And I hope you at least rate it in the top 30. If you're a listener, top 30 for sure.
For sure, no doubt.
So, again, I thank you so much for listening to The Center Ring, TCR. I hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you think of the show, or don't. But just follow us on Twitter. It's at The Center Ring. You can follow me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. Brandon's on Twitter at BrandInnyNew. Let us know what you think. If you have any questions, anything like that, we can bring it up in the next show. I would love to have a Twitter segment, but you know, we just don't have enough Twitter activities going on right now. Though I will say, at The Center Ring, very popular with the Russian porn star Twitter accounts. I don't know what like it is, but man.
30% or something like
it
that.
It is. There are hot teen girls wanting to listen to the show just all the time. All the time. Our listener base must be so attractive. Anyways, let's wrap this one up. Let's put a bow on it. The Center Ring episode 30 is done. It's in the books. We will be back next week. Honestly, it's going to be a late... I don't know. We'll play it by ear. Follow us on Twitter to find the most updates, because we have friends coming in town for DreamHack, so I don't know when we're going to do episode 31. It will definitely come eventually, though. So follow us on Twitter, at The Center Ring, for the latest news. Until then, Take it easy. Have fun. And we'll see you next time. You can also go to our website, tcr.gg.